So here we are, back in Mamre Gimel, Os Yud Zayin of the Sefer HaKuzari. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, earlier in the Mamre, had been building up the idea of Avodah in general and Tefillah in particular. And sort of, you'll cast your mind back to last week, spoke of sort of physically preparing yourself for Tefillah. Adam Nifal Kefi Pu'ulo Sav. Person will be acted upon his actions. Your inner life, your primus, will be shaped by your chitzonius. So first you get your body into the zone. You're standing at attention, calm but at attention, and your hands are free, and even your facial expression reflects, I'm about to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you get your mind and mouth aligned, and it's this opportunity to sit down with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mimela to recenter on what's really important, what life is really all about. So remember that ultimately the question we ask ourselves is, Ma Hashem Elokeinu Doresh Me'etan? What does God want of me? So you recenter your life with tefillah. And then here in Os Yud Zayin, we picked up, he was talking about the greatest pleasure is brachas. And when the Mel HaKuzrim thought that's a little odd, I mean, if you tell me I'm supposed to do it, that's fine. You tell me it's the greatest pleasure. It's like, Rabbi, let's be honest. Isn't saying bracha such a chore? In the case of Sefer HaKuzri pointed out, if you actually stop and chew it over, pun intended, if you stop and chew over the idea, if you actually think this idea through, instead of just saying brachas, oh, whatever, you stop and realize that the way we actually get pleasure is by chewing things over, as we talked about the other day. Right. You enjoy your food much more if you actually take the time to chew each bite and you actually taste the flavor instead of just wolfing it down. And the Sefer HaKuzri gives many other examples of that. You know, the more attuned you are, the more mindful you are, the more present you are in the moment, the more you will enjoy a given physical pleasure. The animal won't appreciate things as much as a human being. The baby won't appreciate things as much as the adult. And someone who's drunk is not going to appreciate the food, the music, etc., anywhere near the same extent as a sober, mindful person. When you say brachas, all of a sudden, you're attuned to what you're doing. You're taking a moment to savor, physically, the fact you're about to, you know, bite into that steak. It's an opportunity to salivate. It's an opportunity to draw joy from it. And it's an opportunity to channel all of that pleasure and anticipation and joy into adding a whole new level of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch. And then he had said in particular to consider, you know, the Brach of Shachyanu. And it's a chance to actually stop and take a breath for a moment, get off of the treadmill of life, which we are supposed to keep hiking and journeying, but every once in a while you have to step to the side and just consider the trail, consider the path, consider the journey. And brachas in general are opportunities to do that. Shechianu had been his first example of appreciate that life is a gift. Appreciate all the things I enjoy are gifts. And all of a sudden, you know, looking at life in the language of gifts, looking at life through the cat of those lenses, changes things a lot. And here at the bottom of the page, he says, and now, let's turn our attention to the brachos of davening. Let's turn our attention to the beginning of Birkas Kriyat Shema, Shel Shachris. Here we go. Ba'amro Birkas HaMa'oros. So you say that bracha. You say that bracha of Yotzer Or V'Rechoshech, which in a sense is where the core of davening begins. Birkas HaShachar really are earlier, and Karbanos and Pesukei Zimra are preparatory. The essence of tefillah, as Rambam points out in Hilchos Tefillah, the essence of tefillah, the core of Shachris, I mean, the preparatory pieces are critical, don't get me wrong. They are necessary and critical. But the core of Shachris itself begins with Kriya Shema Uvirchosa. But Omro Birkas HaMa'oros, in the bottom of page 185, when a Jew says the bracha on the sun, the moon, and the stars, Yotzer Or V'Rechoshech, Yisa'er Esteder Ha'orom Ha'elyon, V'Godol Kol Prat U'Prat Mimenu. It's a chance, if I'm not zooming, I mean that with a lowercase z, I'm sorry, if I'm not zooming through the bracha, it's a chance to appreciate what's going on up in the sky. And he probably also means what's going on up in the heavens. If you think about it, that first bracha, certainly the Shachar's version, addresses both. It addresses the Or and the Choshech, the sun, the moon, the stars, the astronomical, what's going on in the sky, and also the celestial, what's going on in the heavens. The first bracha of Shachar's, Yotzer v'Choshech, has a lot about the Malachim. The Srafim, the Ophanim, the Chayos, and they're saying Kadosh Kadosh and saying Baruch Kvod. You'll remember that those two key psukim of Kedusha come from Yeshaya and Yechezkel describing what they hear, the Shevach that they hear the Malachim uttering. So the Brach of Yotzer V'Hoshech is about the sky and about the heavens, about the sun, the moon, and the stars, and about the Malachim. So it's a chance to focus for a moment. Yachshav al Gadlam. You think about, he might even just mean literally how large they are. The sun is tremendous. And how impactful it is. To say the transformative impact it has on people, it's almost an understatement. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu not created the sun, there would be no life whatsoever on this planet. There would be no energy or anything on this planet. And even sort of in the day-to-day, especially some of you have been getting up earlier these days, I know, if you're actually up for Vasikin, even if you don't make it to Davening Vasikin, if you're up early in the morning and you're outside, you notice, just simple, like you notice how things change so rapidly as the sun is rising, how everything changes so rapidly. Even how the birds change. How much you can see changes, how much warmer things get. So much changes, like Dvarim Pshutim. The Imkozos, as massive as these astronomical objects are, and as impactful as they are, Imkozos, with all that, Heim Nechshavim Be'enei Boram Kikitan Haramasim. From a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, they're no larger than that gnat, or that millipede. From the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all, on the divine scale, so to speak, everything is tiny. Haraya shechashivusam bein ha'bori hikafi shamarti. And he says, I'll demonstrate that's the case. That from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it's all the same size. Ki chachmaso v'ashkachaso, Hamutbas bitziras hanamala v'hadavora, the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the divine involvement in the creation and in the forming of an ant or a bee, eina pachusa mehachachmasa banhagas Hashemesh etzva Hashemayim, no less than the wisdom and the involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in managing astronomy, in managing the sun, in managing the other stars. And he says, Adrabah. And this is something that with our scientific knowledge, we can actually appreciate more now in the modern era, what the Kuzri is about to say. Adrabah, Bekal Kotnam, because, he says, actually, because of the tiny size of insects, Simani HaChachom HaShkach HaNirim Behem Niflam Yosef. In a certain sense, the divine wisdom and an insect is that much more remarkable and impressive. And you know, with the advances of modern science, with just a handful of the advances of modern science for the last couple of centuries, we appreciate the intricacy, the complexity of what he said, an ant, a bee, so much more than people did just a few centuries ago. Now, I'm not just talking about the fact that we have microscopes. Think of the degree of detail, the granularity, the extent to which entomologists, that's biologists who study insects, entomologists appreciate the complexity of organ systems within an ant, within a bee. There was no such awareness a couple of centuries ago. And how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu packed in, and we on the cellular level, how much Chachmas HaBore is packed there on the tiniest levels. It's incredible. And the insights that entomologists have made over the last century or two in terms of understanding, the life cycle of a bee and how they interact with each other and how they communicate with each other through visual cues in their dancing and through sound and through pheromones, through the chemicals they produce, they communicate via smell. It's remarkable. So he said, there's enormous chachmas habore in the sun, the moon, the stars, and there's enormous chachmas habore in insects. And the biodiversity is the sheer magnitude of how many different millions of species of insects there are on planet Earth. It's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. It says, from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we might be overwhelmed. So, if you're looking at it with superficial eyes, so that ant crawling on the floor, that's not so impressive. It's soft, it's tiny, I don't notice any complexity, I don't notice anything impressive. And the sun, wow, that's really impressive. There's a reason why the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they were far more, sun worship was a whole lot more popular than ant worship among the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, among the Baalei Shikarim. But as you appreciate that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as exactly the line with which the bracha opens, Yotzer Or V'Orech Choshech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created everything. It's all very impressive. And in a certain sense, as he's pointing out, the ant is more impressive than the sun in terms of the Chachmas HaBor that's densely packed within him. As he goes on to say, this awareness, this sophistication, will enable me to avoid being drawn after the ideas of those who worship this. Literally, those who worship the stars. Often, Ovdei Kochavim is a euphemism. Here, I think he means literally, Ovdei Kochavim. Those who are star worshippers, those who worship the sun or other stars. Those pagans believe that the sun, the moon, and the stars actually have power. See, they're so powerful. They can help you, they can hurt you, better be nice to them. If you put it into divine perspective, we don't deny the fact that the sun is very impressive and very powerful. Of course it is. We just don't think that means that the sun actually is an independent power. The sun is a very impressive creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It, like everything else in this universe, was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yalnam ha'emesh shepul asam raka eshu karuach. Kalim biyad Hashem. He says, we recognize these are impressive natural forces which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And he points us, we'll close with this for today, to a pasuk near the end of Iyov. Tells you it's in the 31st parak. Im er ki yahel. And I see the beauty of the sun, of the moon. Yift b'seser libi. I might be nifta. I might be seduced within my heart to think, as the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do, oh, they're actually like independent sources of power. And then I need to put things into perspective. So he says that's the essence of the first bracha. You think about it, we might have thought before, like the first bracha seems sort of random. Or in Choshech, and the sun, the moon, the stars, Malachim, like, okay, therefore what? Therefore, I said, no. The major theme of the first bracha is to embrace the power and the beauty and the impressiveness of physical creation, of the world we see around us, and at the same time not to be drawn after it. To embrace, not to ignore the beauty of the cosmos, but also not to sort of be taken in by it to say, oh, that's where things are at. No, the cosmos is gorgeous. It's a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sun is gorgeous. It doesn't speak to that the sun is in charge. Adraba. As a creature, once I recognize the sun correctly as a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a part of God's world, it actually speaks to the smallness of the sun and the majesty of the Ribono Shel. And that's going to be true. That sort of paradigm is incredibly important in all of life. It goes back to what I talked before about brachas in general. sort of staying in tefillah in general, staying God-centered. There are things in our lives that are very powerful. There are people in our lives that are very powerful. There are ideas in our lives that are very powerful. Sometimes there are issues on our minds that are overwhelming. And not to ignore them, but not to let them be the center of the universe. To put them into the perspective of they're part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And in terms of the issues that we grapple with, to put them into perspective are they're part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us. And to fit them into, well, what's Ratzon Hashem? To put things in life and issues in life into the context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the Borei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the Mitzvah, where do things fit in? That's the transformative first bracha of Shacharis. The first bracha of Birkas Kriya Shema in the morning is to look around the world with open eyes and to put it into the perspective of they're all brios of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the grandeur of individual items in the world actually bespeak the majesty of their creator. Which next time, we can move on to the next paragraph to see, well, what's the second bracha about? If that's the goal of the first bracha, is to put the physical cosmos into perspective, where does the second bracha build from there? Pick up with that mitzvah next.